It's an honor to fill in for Rush Limbaugh and to be with you and just visit with you, the EIB Nation, who has helped Rush build a phenomenal, phenomenal community that goes across, as he would say, sea to shining sea, the fruited plains of America and beyond. Truly an honor. It will forever just freak me out, to be honest with you, to turn on the microphone and to talk to a member of the audience, of which I'm a member. And have been for my entire adult life. I don't know. I'm really struggling whether I should tell you this or if I should wait. But I'm going to just come out and say it. According to Fox News, the Senate version of the relief bill contains... I don't know if it's the $35 million, but it contains funding for the Kennedy Center in Washington, D.C., which has no relation whatsoever to the Wuhan flu. It also contains funding for the arts. When I read this, I get angry. And then I'm reminding myself that what is important that's not in it is the vote stealing mechanism, same day registration, of ballot harvesting, that can't be in it. That the bailing out the post office and their debts and transferring that to the Treasury, that's not in it. The $10 billion for universities who charge kids too much money to go to these schools because they're bloated and they have a guaranteed source of income from the government. A lot of these kids don't even have skin in the game financially to go to the colleges. You're paying for it, which is why we end up with this debt. That was all part of Obamacare, right? They put the federal government in charge of all debt except for the state of Nebraska. That was the con back then. The state of Nebraska gets to make their own loans. It's incredible. So if that stuff's not in it, Mitch McConnell has swallowed an embarrassing pill, but perhaps not a poison pill. Mitch McConnell saying, okay, well, we'll put that in it. We know we're going to take heat for it. And that's what Pelosi wants. She's not going to get her leftist wish list. So she wants to hang something around McConnell's neck about which she has to be embarrassed. So just understand, we're trying to get a deal done. They're trying to get a deal done. I hate that that's in there, and it's in there. So we'll just have to deal with the reality of the fact that it's in there. Love to continue to talk to you on the program, 800-282-2882. Can we come out and say now, is it okay for us to mention the fact that Joe Biden is not well? I know that there are, like me, there are people in this audience who have dealt with early onset dementia in their families. I know that. I've dealt with it. It is ugly. It is scary. It's sad. Joe Biden has this. I'm not an epidemiologist, nor am I a psychiatrist or a medical doctor. But I can observe the signs of memory loss, difficulty doing familiar tasks. He's been on video his entire life as an adult human being. And he's forgotten how to be on video. He has forgotten the resume of his son, thinking he was the Attorney General of the United States of America when he was not. Problems speaking or writing. Biden in his town hall and in his interviews has become bizarre and sad. And by the way, can I just point this out? Why is his staff letting him do live things? Why? Why are they not pre-recording everything? Not that I'm trying to help them, because I'm not. This is not going to surprise anybody. But the person who saw this coming, as clear and as early as anyone, was Rush Limbaugh. So Biden did the rounds yesterday. Goes out, he makes an utter fool of himself. So we're going to go back and review what Rush Limbaugh told us about why the Democrat establishment decided to go with Joe Biden.
I'm just giving it to you in a nutshell. The Democrat Party expects to lose. They expect to lose the presidency. They don't want Bernie Sanders to be the nominee because they don't want that kind of shellacking. They think they're going to lose with Biden anyway. And in the outside, there's some shock and Biden wins. There's somebody that's going to actually be president besides him. But the point is that this is all about, this is classic. This is all about the Democrat establishment, including media people, protecting themselves against a Democrat electoral defeat. This is all about Chuck Todd and all the guys, ABC, NBC, CBS, and CNN, keeping their jobs and keeping their credibility. It's all about Donna Brazile keeping her job at the DNC or whatever her job is. It's all about the Democrat establishment not being swept aside like the Republican establishment was swept aside when Trump won. They don't want any never-Trumpers in the Democrat Party. The people that would become the equivalent of the never-Trumpers in the never-Bernies, they don't want to lose their positions. If that means that they have to lose to Trump, then that's fine. It is so obvious to me what's going on. And I also owe you another apology because I was wrong about something, and I was wrong about it big time. I've said prominently on this program twice that Biden would never be the nominee, that he doesn't have a prayer, that it isn't going to happen. And I said that because he's infirm, and he's old, and he doesn't know where he is, and he lies, and he makes... You can't even say that he lies. He doesn't even know that he's lying. There's something really bad going on, and whoever is putting him out there really deserves to be called out on it. Joe Biden has no business being a front runner for any political party seeking the presidency. Last night, he couldn't even... Well, actually, maybe he was actually smart for the first time at all. You know, if you're Democrat, you don't mention God. You mention God, you get in big trouble. So he found a way not to mention God last night in reading the preamble of the Constitution. I'll show you what I'm talking about in just a minute when we get to the audio. But Joe Biden is embarrassing himself every day. Now, he doesn't know it, but there are people who do. I thought that because of this, and because I thought they really thought they had a chance to win the presidency, that they would not throw him up there because he's not going to win. But remember what I said many, many times? Now they're looking, okay, who would they rather lose with? And they don't want to throw away Buttigieg. They think he's the future. They don't want to throw away Klobuchar. Klobuchar doesn't have a chance of winning anyway. But throw away Plugs. Plugs, this is a great swan song for Plugs. He's been a loyal vice president. He's done whatever the party said. Now it's his job to go out there and lose as the party moderate. His job is to go out there and be Walter F. Mondale. And while he loses, he is to maintain the Democrat Party establishment in power. Remember, Trump sweeping to victory also swept out the Republican Party establishment, and they became... in part, the never-Trumpers. They are a bunch of people without a party now. The Republican Party doesn't want them. They don't want the Republican. Hell, they're now endorsing Plugs. These never-Trumpers, these conservatives, people who were charging you thousands of bucks to go on their conservative cruises, they're now endorsing Democrats, for crying out. The Democrats do not want that to happen to them. And if it means Joe Biden losing the presidency, but they remain intact as the face, as the power structure of the Democrat Party, then that's what will happen.
I know my microphone was down. I'm glad it was. Because as Rush was saying, throw Plugs out there. Throw away Plugs. I'm dying laughing. And it's sad that I'm dying laughing. But there's something you got to know. I wish that you guys could have the experience that I had of living in D.C. I wondered for the longest time because I felt called by God to go to D.C. Then I got really angry with God. Why'd you do that to me? I believe that this flawed vessel, the broken cat that I am, if there's one thing I can do, it's to tell you some things about D.C. I wish you could see the self-dealing. And this was before Trump. I'll give you an example. There was a fundraiser, a big-time Republican fundraiser, who decided to air an infomercial. That fundraiser knew that infomercial wasn't going to raise money, but it didn't matter. That fundraiser, who had a salary from one of the committees and a really good salary, had a side gig. That side gig was producing videos. So this person paid herself to produce these videos. Then that person, with her other side gig, paid herself a commission to place those infomercials on these stations. And now I'm that part is all fact. My conjecture is that she also got paid by some of the stations. A little bit of a goody-goody kind of, not illegal, but kind of maybe under the table monies. That thing made no money. All of us said, this is going to make no money. This will fail. Except if you understand D.C., that wasn't the point. It wasn't to move votes. It was to move dollars. That person is endemic, or was. All those monies that you were sending in, there was every third person was in on that scam or a scam like that. I wish you could see it, to know it. And if I can tell you a little bit about it while I'm here filling in for Rush, I'll do as much of that as I can. Lots more to come. It's Todd Herman filling in for Rush Limbaugh on the EIB Network. That's Todd Herman filling in for Rush Limbaugh on the EIB Network, 800-282-2882. If I'm trying to get on the program as we round the bend here in the last hour of sub-excellence, not anywhere near excellence, sub-excellence. I'll talk to Don in Salinas, California. Don, you are on the Rush Limbaugh program. It's Todd Herman filling in. Hi, Don.
Hi. Yeah, I wanted to let you know I'm in Monterey County, California, one of the first places to get the shelter in place order. I've been staring out my window for 2 weeks now thinking, and I wanted to play Captain Obvious here. If we were to take this Corona stimulus money, half of it, and sequester all the sickly and the elderly people who are the preferred victims of the coronavirus, subsidize their rent, food, whatever, give them personal attendance, and the rest of us go about our daily lives, it wouldn't matter how many people contracted the virus, less people would be hospitalized, less people would die. And isn't that the point of doing all this?
Utterly brilliant. Utterly brilliant. And as you were speaking, I was closing my eyes and remembering how beautiful Monterey, California is. And being down there seeing the sea lions and the sea, that's a brilliant point, Don.
I don't know why they're not thinking of this. No matter, they're talking about people getting this virus. 99% of them, well, 99.9 of the younger healthy people shrug it off like a cold. Why are we even counting them?
It's utterly brilliant what you're saying. We've been talking about on the program these three patient groups, and number one patient group is people who are older and have comorbid conditions. They're going to die if they come in contact with it. There's then the population of people who are older and they can get very sick if they come in contact with it. Then there's the rest of us. It's a brilliant point, Don. And I want to thank you for the call because you've inspired me to answer this question for the greater audience. And thank you, Don. Here's why. Because the media is not telling the full story. I developed this theory about bias. See, media bias is easy to fight. Easy. Because we have social media. Because of this program. You know, when El Rushbo is here and he fights it, he, as he said, an army of one goes at this. It's easy to fight because it's out there. You can point at it. You can go to the numbers. No, that's not true. Or the media yesterday was saying that a guy died because he took the medicine that President Trump has been touting. He didn't. What he ate was stuff you use to clean your aquarium. That's what he ate. And the media has yet to retract their statements, their lies, their fake news about that. See, that stuff can be critiqued. It can be discussed. You can show your liberal friends, no, actually, this guy ate some tablets that go inside of a fish aquarium. What is harder to confront is the propaganda of silence. The media is not telling people that how many folks have been exposed and developed an immunity. They're not telling people that the people who are dying from this are in a particular population of our neighbors, our parents, our friends, our loved ones, older people with comorbid conditions. They're not giving you that full story because they don't want you to have it, because then you can point to your liberal friends and you can say, do you see there's a third way to protect these people, as Don from Monterey just said, to protect these people? And not tank our economy. the propaganda of silence, which I, by the way, trademarked the first time I said it on Rush's show. So please don't go try to write a book, Propaganda of Silence. It's the most powerful tool the media has. And it makes more importance your voice. It makes more important this program, obviously, when Rush comes back. Far more important. Let's talk to Bill in Burlington, North Carolina. Bill, you're on the Rush Limbaugh program. It's Todd Herman filling in. Hi, Bill.
Hey, thank you for taking my call. Just one question. During these virus updates, which we really appreciate, all of us in the country, by the president, why is the vice president standing behind him when there should be him on the other side of the room, the other building, you know, with all this social distancing? Why are they doing that?
I would conjecture this, Bill, that the president and the vice president are so well looked after. They are probably checked every day. Their temperatures are checked. I would tell you this, that in Taiwan, you know, they have almost no Wuhan virus. In Taiwan, which is next door to China, China wants to annex Taiwan completely. They're almost unaffected by this because they knew China would lie. When the virus came out, they started checking the temperature of everybody who went into any building at any time. You actually had to have your temperature checked at any building. They started checking people getting off the flights from Wuhan. I would guarantee you that at this point, anyone around President Trump or Vice President Pence, anyone, is checked. Their temperature is checked. I guarantee that. They're constantly checked. They have to be. So I would tell you that I understand your concern, and it makes sense, but they're so well looked after. Does that make you feel any better?
No, I just, you know, not even a little. You know, we're just gonna have to agree to disagree on this because people don't know they're sick.
Yeah,
you know, and you know, it just takes too long to figure out if they are sick, and we're just gonna have to agree to disagree. I just think they should split up. You know, I mean, and go to the other side of the room.
You know what? I can I tell you something? How much I appreciate your honesty, because you call into Rush's show, even though it's, you know, rank amateur filling in. It's, you know, this Herman guy. I love your honesty. No, you didn't make me feel better. That's great, Don. I appreciate it. You stay well where you're at, and stay healthy. Great. Thank you for calling Rush's program. Look, I don't want to pile on because Don, you know, is no longer on the call, but I would have this confidence that they're being checked on a daily, multi-daily basis. Their health is being checked. It wouldn't surprise me. This will drive the liberal media nuts. It wouldn't surprise me if they're being tested multiple times, right? At the intervals at which Dr. Fauci or the president's personal physician or official physician is recommending. It wouldn't surprise me if the chain of command is getting tested on a daily basis, and that should be the case, because that's what we can't have breakdown. I hope we're doing that at the high levels of the military, at the high levels of national defense. I hope that's something that we're pursuing in the country. And I think it is, that we're taking those levels of protection. We come back on the Rush Limbaugh program, Todd Herman filling in. Sirius satellite host David Webb joins us. Brilliant column. He says that the Wuhan flu is not the only pandemic sweeping the earth, but this one sees others not getting as much attention. Oh, what an honor to fill in for Rush. Great to talk to you at 800-282-2882. David Webb is with us, a think tank of one. Massive mind, Sirius satellite radio host, followed you for years. It's great to finally talk to you. David, welcome to Rush Limbaugh's program. Todd Herman filling in.
Hey, Todd, how are you? How are you holding up in all of this?
Well, I'm out in Washington State, David, at this point, which was a hot spot. And I guess in terms of the ordinary madness out here, you know, our governor issued a lockdown or a stay-at-home order, but he found ways to make sure that our homeless sex trafficking camps, they're not locked down. He's kept the Metro buses rolling. He kept the trains rolling. He's kept the pot stores open. So I guess under these circumstances, I'm doing okay. How are you?
I'm doing all right. And, you know, your governor, and when you think about this, Todd, let's go back about 2.5 weeks ago when the vice president flew out there and brought a team into the state and left that team there to help them. They offered so many resources to Washington State after failed decisions. They didn't make the right decisions when necessary. That was the beginning of the influx, 75% of which came from people returning to the United States. So, you know, decisions and policy do matter to the community.
No, there's no doubt. And they're hopscotching around the fact that they have invited David out to cities like Los Angeles, San Francisco, New York City, Austin, other cities where they're undergoing the grand experiment of everybody shoot up whenever you want. They're not reporting the numbers of people who are sick in these camps, if they are, and they won't tell us if they are. They're hopscotching past this. But this is socialism, right? I mean, this is what we're seeing. And you wrote a brilliant piece in The Hill, David, it's at least where I write it, that conjectures it and suggests that this isn't the only pandemic that's sweeping the earth. So let's talk about this. What is it? What are these other pandemics?
Well, you know, and I took the definition, right? The principle that affects an entire nation or the globe, that's what a pandemic is, and applied it to all the things we don't pay attention that go on every day. If you think about what happens in other countries around the world, let's start with Venezuela, one of the most obvious tragedies playing out daily. Children being born to malnourished mothers or malnourished who will never be able to run their lives, by the tens of thousands, eventually by the millions, sadly. Look at the African continent. Look at mass hunger, tribal warfare, Muslim theocratic dictatorships that destroy villages at a time. Look across the Central and South America and even Mexico with drug cartels that literally have towns captive for decades. These are ruined lives and communities. So, you know, we need a little scope here. Coronavirus is tough, difficult, but when you look at it and you look at all the other things going on, we'll recover from coronavirus, but these other issues will continue and continue right now on a daily basis. They didn't take a break because of this, but to tie that to your points about policies and decisions that are being made by leaders all around the world, Italy's decisions to join China, the Belt and Road Initiative, opening the door for up to 300,000 Chinese legal and illegal living and traveling between both. You know, what does that do? It exposes Italy. Look at Spain. Look at their numbers, the growing number of deaths. I think, unfortunately, 433 or more reported in the latest report on what's going on there since yesterday. So, you know, these decisions affect our communities, and we're not taking action to deal with the other issues enough. We're fighting them here and there, but we've really got to look in scope of what's going on around the world. Water is a big problem. Famine is real. And these are things that affect entire nations.
Right. And we talked earlier on Rush's show, David. David Webb joins us as a Sirius Satellite Radio host. You can read him and follow him, listen to him. Great piece in The Hill today. I imagine the EAB team will put that at rushlimbaugh.com. We talked earlier in Venezuela about the fact that there are 6.5 million adults who have fled the country, and they've left behind their children, David Webb, that these children now will face the Wuhan virus on their own. So they have what you describe, and I think really well, as a pandemic of end stage socialism with the pandemic of the Wuhan flu. And these are 9 and 10 year old kids and younger that are left behind. And so we talked about that. I want to ask you a question. This requires speculation. I believe there are evil people on the left who I contend they know they're doing evil things, but they think that evil will get them what they want. How many people in the left are of that mindset or are just so convinced in the ideology or persuaded by the ideology of socialism that they actually believe, David, that they actually believe it can work?
You know, evil succeeds not just when good people do nothing, but when the unwilling or the willing masses don't do what's right. Those who follow the leadership of the leftists, the globalists, the anti-American crowd out there are actually harming this country. You know, you bring Venezuela into the picture. Let me give you some numbers and a danger of policies made by socialists, by communists, by neo-Marxists, and by Islamists. You have travel between China and Iran, over 55 flights in the initial stages of this, so the transmission went back and forth. You have travel between Iran and Venezuela on a regular basis because there is a huge Hezbollah contingent out in the plains of Venezuela competing with the Chavistas from Cuba, some 20,000 estimated, against what's the people of Venezuela, let's call it what it is. You have those links, and look at the links and who's in charge.
what you realize that they work together for their own ends, and sometimes under the principle that the bear will eat you last, because an Islamist competing with a socialist, neo-Marxist, or a new form communist, whatever they want to call themselves, are all working together and destabilizing these countries and nations. And to bring it home right here, Todd, we've got to watch our borders. We have a caravan that formed in Honduras that is probably somewhere near the Darien Gap right now. Mexico's concerned about its southern border. These are real world. These aren't speculative events. These are things that are going on right now. And if we don't have proper containment of those elements, then this will spread even more. And, you know, look, people will die and have died and continue to due to the coronavirus outbreak and the pandemic. But an even greater danger, and this is a tough one because politicians don't want to say it and people don't want to hear it sometimes, but an even greater danger is economic destabilization of key components of the global community and the global economy. If America is destabilized economically, that will affect the rest of the world.
Exactly right. And you spoke of Marxism, and I would give people this example. You're describing a game of Survivor, right, where, hey, you have a temporary alliance. You were mentioning the Islamists working with the communists, etc. We're seeing this lifetime where the gay community decided, hey, we'll accept the transgender community, or people who I would say have gender dysphoria. I don't know that they're transgender, but they have that. We'll accept them. And now look what's happening. You have lesbian women being told you must date men because they think they're men. So lifetime, we're seeing the intersectional alliance break down. And now you can be for women's rights or you can be for trans rights. You have to choose. That's microcosmic. And speaking of things people don't want to talk about, that's an uncomfortable topic for a lot of people. But what you're saying is there's this temporary alliance between people who are one day going to war with one another. These are alliances of convenience, David Webb.
Well, they're not only alliances of convenience. They're not new. Look, I love history, and I think anybody who has listened to me long enough knows that, but history teaches us. The rise of pan-Arabism in the Middle East, we're going back decades now, was actually due to a coordination between Islamists, neo-Marxists, and leftover from the Nazi regime. You start looking at this, you realize that, as you said, there are evil people and evil elements who will work together with a common goal. I'm going to bring it right home to America. Bernie Sanders is a communist. He can call himself anything he wants, but Bernie Sanders is a communist. Who's he allied with? He's taken three of the members of the squad, AOC, and two Islamists, Rashida Tlaib and Ilhan Omar. And they're all working together towards what common goal? Not really a common goal, but the destruction of America is the first goal. They each have their individual common goals. Now, people will say, come on, what are these two or three people going to do? Well, Bernie said it himself. His ideas that were once radical and now considered mainstream in quarters of the Democrat Party. And we're seeing the leadership that follows that model lead others to go along and buy into this, including the young who, you know, didn't live through the communist era, even though it's very recent, it's our very recent past, and don't understand the evils of socialism. So they live by this model that it works in Europe when it really doesn't in Finland or Sweden or something else in the northern countries. And they live in this fantasy and they lead these masses into this thought process to change for their goals, whatever their end goal may be.
Brilliantly said. Brilliantly said. David Webb's been with us, Sirius Satellite radio host. I said one-man think tank. I think you should take that. I think that's what you are. We'll make sure. I think the team EIB will put your piece up on RushLimbaugh.com. It's really great to talk to you, David. Thank you for calling Rush's program today.
Anytime, my friend. Anytime. And look, blessings for Rush. We're all praying for him and his family.
Indeed, we are. Many, many prayers. Appreciate yours being added to that. Thank you, David Webb. We come back. Linda from upstate New York, she has a woodshed ready for me because of the suggestion that, hey, maybe older people with comorbid conditions take some time out. Linda's going to have her say when we come back. It's the Rush Limbaugh program, Todd Herman filling in. Yeah, it's Todd Herman in for Rush Limbaugh. We've been talking about ways to help society come back into business. One of those is three patient groups, the Wuhan virus. Some people who are much more vulnerable to it than others. Quickly on Twitter from Old Man Dudley. Yo, Todd, I'm over 70. I'm healthy. Why should you take away my freedom so you nitwit whippersnappers can cultivate the virus and infect us later? Perhaps all you kiddies should be banned from parks and rec sites and movies so we can go on enjoying our later years. Beautifully written note. I'm in my 50s. I'm not whipping or snapping. Now, Lifetime. Linda from upstate New York is on the Rush Limbaugh program. Linda, greetings. It's Todd Herman filling in.
Hi, Todd. Thank you for taking my call. First, I'd like to say that Rush, they're absolutely right. You need to rest up. Chemo is very difficult to deal with, but we'll all still be here when you get back.
Amen.
Now, it's true. Anyhow, my main point was in regard, I think his name was Don, about three or four callers ago, who wants to pack up all the senior citizens and, I don't know, put them in a bag or a closet somewhere to keep them from getting sick. I hope his kids want to do that to him someday. I'm 78 years old. I still work full time. I go to people's houses and I talk to people on the phone. I'm not going to tell you who I work for. Wouldn't be good. But senior citizens mostly can take care of themselves. I mean, I live in my own home.
Mm-hmm.
I drive a car.
Yeah. I don't think that you need anyone's guidance. I think what David was suggesting is that for people who are, or Don was suggesting from Monterey, was that people who have vulnerabilities have this opportunity to be subsidized in staying safe. But it sounds to me like probably you're keeping others safe.
Well, most seniors would not like that, somebody to tell them what to do and go live here or go live there. Oh, not a good idea.
What if it's in your own home? What if it was us whippersnappers for a little while, just taking the reins just for a little while, and until we deal with this virus, and you're in your home, and you do as you wish. You're a free human being, but we're offering you the opportunity to be underwritten while you did that, saving the country money and allowing the economy to come back. But your choice. What if it was your choice presented to you that way?
I don't think you'd have many people that would take you up on it.
Fascinating.
I really don't.
Fascinating. I've been bugging my mom. She's driving across the country. I've been bugging, where are you going to stay? Are you going to cleanse the hotel rooms? And she said, you know, honey, I've survived this long. I don't need you to start teaching me how to cleanse things.
Right.
Yeah. Right. I love, go ahead.
Could I say one other thing?
Please.
I've been trying to get in touch with Mario Cuomo. I live in upstate New York.
Mm-hmm.
And we constantly get lumped in with New York City. And, you know, most of us up here, we wish they'd build a wall across the state.
Yeah.
Somewhere in the vicinity, maybe, of Dutchess County.
Okay.
And keep all those people down there.
Well, we have someone actually was going to talk about New Yorkers. We'll try to get to the call. Why are New Yorkers flying into Orlando? I hear what you're saying. We'll see if we can do a seance or something to get in touch with Mario Cuomo because he has passed on. But Andrew Cuomo, we'll talk to him, and maybe Chris Cuomo can do that.
That's what I meant, yeah. Andrew.
Linda, you're a joy. I appreciate you calling Rush's program. I'm glad you got through, and I know that the prayers mean a lot to him. Thank you. Continue to stay safe, and thanks for calling Rush's show, Linda.
I will. Thank you very much.
Bye. All right, Todd Herman, I'll continue. That was a woodshed. I love it. That's a great phone call. Thank you, Linda. Todd Herman filling in for Rush Limbaugh. Program will continue in just a second. What an incredible experience to be able to fill in for Rush Limbaugh. Such an honor. And to talk to so many of you. It's incredible to be able to touch base with so many people in the same audience group, which I am a member and have been for so long. We started the program by just telling you something, and I think it bears repeating. The man you want to hear and rightfully should be hearing behind the microphone, the golden EIB microphone, I want you to just picture something with me. That man who for all these years has brought you broadcast excellence and has bonded with you. I'm told by the team EIB that they are keeping our Maharishi, that they're telling him, heal, stay home, and take care of yourself. We need you back. So I'm picturing Rush Limbaugh in a beautiful home that his hard work and commitment bought with his beloved wife. And I'm picturing him just filled with things to tell you and with a team whom I'm honored to work with. That is Bo and Mike and Greg and Keith and Allie and Sue. Telling him the audience will still be there. And I know that you will. Thanks for your prayers. Todd Herman in for Rush Limbaugh on the EIB Network.